Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Shun Barr, the King. Just promoting the show real quick on Facebook before we get started. Apologize for the inconvenience. Just want to get the word out there real quick. If you're just listening, thank you for tuning in, making this your number one show, hopefully today, for all sports talk. I'm your host, Shun Barr, the King. You can find me on Twitter at GBravoSK. I promised you guys we would lighten up our quality audio quite a bit, but since I was busy for quite some time today, we are still in the process of working on the quality audio. We will fix the quality audio within a matter of time, hopefully Monday. So glad you guys are here today. We are going to talk about the Stanley Cup. Jimmy Butler struggling. He wasn't quite Jimmy Buckets last night for the rest of the Miami Heat team. They did not play really up to some of his expectations. Some believed that the Heat would eventually go on to have at least a solid shooting night against the Denver Nuggets, but no, the Denver Nuggets, they had many open opportunities when you even consider the lane last night, and the lane had to be open quite amount of time to Nikola Jokic and some others. I'd say one of the biggest flaws out of the Miami Heat's roster is that they don't have quite a shot blocker like a Joel Embiid or someone tops in the league. Jokic isn't quite necessarily a shot blocker, but he is, in fact, a high-volume scorer. When he's on fire, when he is a volume high scorer during the NBA Finals, you just have no better choice but to stick on Jokic and feed off the defender, if it's Bam Adebayo or Kyle Lowry. I mean, Lowry, but he's definitely up there in age. You expect some of the younger players to step up on the perimeter. against the Denver Nuggets, and Michael Porter Jr., I find Michael Porter Jr. to be a interesting name worth pointing out, because we're going to get to the NHL Stanley Cup, by the way. I'm not too sure if we're going to discuss the news that have gone on today in the world of basketball and the other sports. We may just get to a few news topics at the end of today's show. I'd expected to come on a little earlier today in the day, but like I said, you can find Sports Kingdom starting weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio Live. Call in numbers 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. I was watching some of Stanley Cup Media Day. We'll have a lot to talk about. But getting straight back to Michael Porter Jr., still trying to work out this Facebook password for some reason. The Facebook password is denying me from sharing the show. Give me one second. Going to figure this out. All right, I'm doing a post on Facebook. All right, let's try again. Not going to bring it up again. Let's talk exclusively about Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr., of course, I believe, came off a solid night. Was it a night I think he could have excelled much better at? Yeah, especially with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, but Michael Porter Jr., you know, I was just mentioning the lane and such, defense, and when I watched Michael Porter Jr. last night, I realized that even though he was able to knock down a good majority of his shots, did not get off as many shots like Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, of course. I said before, this final is going to be really telling about Michael Porter Jr.'s future in Denver, no matter if he leaves or is traded by the Denver Nuggets in the near future. I think it's very well possible. Based off, if we just say tonight or last night was the last night of the NBA Finals, there was only one single night of the 2023 NBA Finals between the Nuggets and Miami Heat, I would say right away that most of the production obviously went towards Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, that dynamic duo showing off and making ESPN so excited that ESPN NBA Today recently released already. I mean, we're only in the game one, but and Jamal Murray and Jokic have yet to win a finals title, but based off the fact that Jokic-Murray had solid game one performances, the ESPN crew decided to go ahead, talk about Shaq, Kobe as being one dynamic duo, and then others along with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, yet to be ranked top five according to ESPN, but then again, who knows? Who knows? Based off how much production leeway is dropped off in particular Murray and Jokic, I think not to get too off topic, but I just can't help but acknowledge that if Jokic and Murray keep going off like they did game one, and bring Michael Porter Jr. back into the fold now, back into the equation, if those two keep on playing extremely good basketball, and Porter knocks down some shots, and not play like the way he did last night. He one point drove into the lane very, very awkwardly into Jokic, and Jokic then picked up the offensive rebound to score. But then again, Porter Jr. sliding into the lane and trying to show off some of his offensive versatility besides knocking down some but less shots than Murray and Jokic goes to prove to me that the Nuggets may very well move on from Porter Jr. based off the way some other forwards such as Bruce Brown and possibly others can fill in, could fill in for Porter Jr. in the near future. I'd say the one forward that really caught my eyes last night was Christian Braun. Christian Braun played some really good basketball, I felt, despite the lesser of all production Braun and Porter. Braun at some point showed us some really, really extremely good hustle. One time hustling for a loose ball that went into the stands almost. He has really shown over time that he's been worthy of some minutes, like I said on yesterday's show, and worthy of some minutes now in the playoffs. He's really shown the essence of what a true player of his resume profile speaks. He should do whatever at all costs, whether it's hustle for a loose ball, hustle for a tough rebound, and just get after it. He's really been impressive thus far, although I'm not going to go as far as to say who should be the starting small forward of the Denver Nuggets, and that's been a void, I feel, since Carmelo Anthony left, of course. I don't think there's anyone possibly going to fill in the shoes of Carmelo Anthony at small forward of the Denver Nuggets anytime soon, but you look closely at what could happen if anything goes lopsided this series for the Denver Nuggets. There could very well change as unforeseen by me, and they could very well pay dividends by going with a different small forward, making a improvisation towards the very end of the series, if the Heat say take advantage of game two and then go back to home and win two straight. I mean, the Heat in the past, though, up 3-0, 3-1, have, of course, let a team like the Celtics come back 3-3 and end it in Boston. Without possibly Jaylen Brown and others going into the future, it was reported today that Joe Mazzulla is returning to the Boston Celtics. Am I quite surprised? No, because then again, I said before, the Celtics were going to have to make a decision, and they made a vehement decision on Joe Mazzulla based on what I had said before, which was that he led the Celtics to the Eastern Conference final, at least in his first season, even though the Celtics came short of reaching the Denver Nuggets. So arguments we made that Joe Mazzulla did not play the season he had hoped. He did not get the Celtics going sharp decisions, and I guess you could say fundamentals from Ume Udoka, who's now at the Houston Rockets. The Boston Celtics, no, bring back Joe Mazzulla, but I think the biggest question on everyone's mind, of course, is Jaylen Brown, whether Jaylen Brown is going to go to play for the Celtics next year. You can tell me in the comment section on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or you can tell me what you think on Twitter, sportskimtv.com, and other such sports kingdom sites. But talk about the Heat lacking defense. They weren't able to play as, I think, good defense as Aaron Gordon. Gordon has had to stop LeBron James, expand upon his defensive arsenal ever since leaving Orlando. And now last night, I believe Aaron Gore was on Jimmy Butler at times, and he just played pretty good basketball for the Nuggets. I mean, one of the few trades the Nuggets have made in their past history recently has been Aaron Gordon. For them to take a chance on Aaron Gordon and not and pass on potentially 32 other power forwards. It's good to show you how much mutual respect I believe there is between Aaron Gordon, the Denver Nuggets, and going to be I think it's going to be interesting of course about what transpires in terms of Aaron Gordon, Jokic, Murray, Christian Braun. We were starting to talk about Bruce Brown. He came alive in the game certain times and provided a boost. He's been another nice acquisition for the Denver Nuggets. Trying to elaborate on how some of the Denver Nuggets players did you know, what really stood out to me was Jokic and Murray. Just, I think, like everyone else, really, I don't have much on Jokic or Murray other than they have to continue to play the same way like they have throughout this entire postseason. Murray having his unbelievable performance of another consecutive 25-point game. It's been all the way back to the Lakers, even possibly further, where Murray has scored at least 25 points in all of his last consecutive games in the NBA Finals. Now, Murray, only 26 years old, has really come to impress the heck out of me, just like I believe many other fans when I had gone and seen a top 10 list of point guards and not seeing Jamal Murray on the list. It made me resonate with the fact now they and the Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray have really stood tall within the power of test and time. Jamal Murray just absolutely killing it. And no, I mean, do I think there's much more for Murray to expand upon in his game? Sure. I think he could go much better facilitator, probably one of, if not the best facilitator in all of the NBA. He's only 26, and he, you know, has just been starting to show again these consistent streaks of scoring. Before, people would say, oh, well, Jamal Murray is just Mr. Inconsistent, so to speak, but now he's really lining it up. I mean, I mean, I'm going to get too far back to Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, but Jamal Murray is... is playing at a sharp level, even though I think Kobe is on a different stratosphere. I think Murray to at least win a finals, pick up more steam in the regular season, like. I'm not trying to say Jokic, because I don't think Murray will ever be the type that will win more at least three MVPs. I consider Jokic to be a three-time MVP, even though he's a two-time MVP. And you look at Murray right now, he can very well pick up more steam in the regular season, go on to win a title, but also, like I said, expand upon his game and reach heights Kobe Bryant couldn't, with more than one NBA Finals title. Try to win six like Kobe couldn't, and to go after the prize of MVP and winning more than players like Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant himself. I think there's definitely been a chip on Jamal Murray's shoulder ever since becoming injured last year with the torn ACL, and then hearing all the media say that he's not going to ever live up to top 10 NBA point guard actively and cement himself with some of the all-time greats, like, There's an open window right now here for the Denver Nuggets and the fan base. They have just reached their first finals appearance since one of their own legendary players back from at least the early times the ABA had played alongside the NBA. It's been, what I heard from the broadcast last night, over 50 years since the Denver Nuggets have been back to Ball Arena and played for a championship. And so, really like what I saw of Jamal Murray last night. Also, like the effort constituted effort by Nikola Jokic, of course, has I think, play with the chip on shoulder, too. I mean, I don't think it goes as much notice, but when you take a player like Jamal Murray and then Nikola Jokic, you realize with Jokic as well that he's not only a second-round pick. People will say right away that he was a second-round pick and did not eventually go to pan out necessarily as much in his first rookie year like some NBA analysts had said, NBA draft analysts had said, but then again, the most glaring thing that sticks out to me about Jokic and his his chip on shoulder is that he comes from Serbia, and I don't think there have been too many players like Jokic from to represent as great as Jokic has presented Serbia the way Jokic has to put that chip on his shoulder, go out and play tremendously well once again. Jokic does not get favored enough, I believe. We're talking so much about Victor Wembanyama right now and how the three-point shot has evolved since the three-point line's inception. But I think you can't forget what college national champion Jahlil Okafor said back in the 2015 NBA draft, and that was, you best guarantee that bigs are the breathing identity of the NBA, of basketball, and still live on to this very day when you include legends like Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and then look at later on Tim Duncan, and now Nikola Jokic. I mean, Nikola. I think okay. I think right now, since we're talking, since the whole speculation, I guess, of today has been on, you know, how many figures of money can Jokic draw up, or with the rest of the Nuggets, or how much success can the Nuggets attain with Jokic and others down the line? I'm gonna say that, okay, if this is just my uneducated prediction, I would say right now that Jokic is set to win possibly he's 28. I think he can win A lot of titles go to, I'd say he, for the next decade, between his age now, 28, and LeBron's age, 38, he can be the MVP of the league, unlike Wembanyama, in my opinion. You could go back, listen to all my rants on Wembanyama before, but if I have to take an uneducated prediction, I'd say Jokic is going to win probably before I go getting crazy, I'm gonna compare his game with Tim Duncan, because I just mentioned Tim Duncan, and Tim Duncan was arguably a unappreciated sensation. He put together a dynasty. He won just about 5 titles, along with a legendary coach who stuck by him his whole entire career, unlike Jordan. And Kobe and LeBron, I mean, And Stephen Curry, too. Stephen Curry had Kerr, Jackson, and the Spurs, they only had Popovich, LeBron, so many coaches. Then you factor in Michael Jordan, Jordan, like Kobe had Jackson, and then other coaches such as Doug Collins, and an experienced coach unlike Phil Jackson and Doug Collins is rookie season as part of the Chicago Bulls that drafted him by Rod Thorne, who I remember was the Sixers general manager, although not to get off topic, Duncan, just like Popovich stayed loyal to his coach, squad, and front office, and there came points and times as well. Duncan lost in the finals, like Kobe, like LeBron. But I'd say most particularly comparing Jokic's game with Duncan, I mean, obviously Jokic can hit his shot better than Duncan. Jokic very poor on defense, but I'd say he's on point to win more accolades, more attainments. With his post-up game over Tim Duncan's, I really like him, Jokic, a lot more than Tim Duncan, but one of the only things I'm really concerned is how much further his athleticism and some defensive capability will stretch him into his age 38 season with hopefully we will be saying the Denver Nuggets 10 years from now. Last night I didn't mention he had 14 assists, the most in NBA Finals history in quite some time, even by a center. He showed he could dribble the ball. If he could dribble the ball like a Magic Johnson, man, that'd be a whole different story. I think we would all be saying by now he's this type of player, he's that type of player. But I think maybe the part of the reason why he gets dialyzed is because of his athletic frame. It's gonna be worth telling what happens between now and H38 season with Jokic possibly standing to improve upon his athletic frame further. I mean, he's lost the weight, but I mean, will he do what Tim Duncan did? I mean, I think it's most likely if he's especially getting paid like the highest player, being paid player in the league. I mean, I think he's only going to matter time, win a title, stretch out his career, never get better real defensively, but if I had to say, I mean, if you think about a player like James Harden, struggled with athleticism. Never quite, play defense, but, I think I'm getting over ahead of myself. I think, if you man, it's been a little tough day. We've been on for an hour. If you want to call into the show, the number to the show is 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. But I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. Okay, so if you think about the style of the NBA today, it's so three-point oriented these days. I don't think there are too many players, especially big like Embiid and Jokic, that are going at it hard in the paint, that defense doesn't really quantify much in the NBA when you think about a typical NBA center. I guess it just doesn't necessarily apply to, especially how much of the effort and sweat players like James Harden on the perimeter and others have to fend off or play. It's a different type of league, but then again, I still think it's all about the big man. It's all about the big man in charge and a dominant big man. Like Wilt, of course, was able to score 100 points, become one of the franchise leaders in Sixers points history, go on to have a side career with the Lakers, last a pretty long time, just like Bill Russell. I think something else to consider too about Jokic is that he isn't one of these bigs like Greg Oden, Bill Walton, or Joel Embiid. You think about player like Yao Ming. Yao Ming, I thought, had so much potential to succeed more than he did in his career, that he unfortunately went down with injuries. And the case of Yao and Embiid and other centers, Jokic has stayed healthy, and he has so far this finals. If Murray goes down again, then I think the Nuggets may have to worry a little bit more about their future. Not like the Sixers, though. Look at the Sixers. They worry about Joel Embiid a lot. No free agents really want to feel attracted to playing Philadelphia basketball. And the Sixers, much worse position than the Nuggets, but with the Nuggets, the Nuggets, I think, would have to likely add on a new star player next to Jokic. But you think about how, again, the ceiling, the upside of Murray, so much he has to improve upon in his body genetics overall. He can have a really, really nice career and get you thinking about how and why this duo has become a dynamic duo with Jokic and Murray. So, you know, I talked a lot about the Nuggets. Like I said, we're not going to get into too much news today, possibly a few news topics, but we're going to talk more in depth about the Heat into the next 30 minutes. So our 30 minutes will stretch out the show by talking in depth about the Stanley Cup final between the Florida Panthers and Vegas Golden Knights. But, you know, the Nuggets capped off a huge victory over the Heat to take game one of the NBA Finals. The Heat, though, suffered the consequences in the Denver Nuggets win over Miami. Like I said, Jimmy Butler really wasn't Jimmy Buckets. Now, mentioning the defense firstly, but what really stood out in many fans watching last night was that Jimmy Butler had played some of his poor executed basketball in the NBA postseason this year. He has gone on to average over 28 points in the postseason this year, but in postseason alone, but in the regular season, he has struggled to at least have over 28 points per game in the postseason career history of Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets has gone on to have over 21 points per game in the regular season. He now seems to fall short of being considered a regular season MVP all the time. He seems to fall short of, say, the 2020 NBA Finals, fall short of really tight games at times. I mean, Jimmy I think, has a lot to prove in game two, but I think with game one, he really blew out the window with the rest of the Miami Heat team. Jimmy Butler did not play up to expectations. He, you know, wasn't only productive less in the scoring column, but he didn't really produce as much, even though you can make more of the argument, more of the glaring argument that Jimmy Butler just did not take over like he has in previous games in the postseason. He has, I guess he wasn't feeling it. I kind of get the vibe sometimes. Jimmy Butler will play so well. He will play with his heart pumping out of his chest with games on the line like Game 7 or, you know, advantageous games at home. And loves to certainly play at home. I think despite miscalculating stats, he plays with his chart, his heart pumping out of his chest, and plays efficiently well. But I think for the most part, Jimmy Butler he's got to feel himself. He's got to feel in rhythm, and I think that's just how the Heat work. They play off each other, and things really aren't going well for a player like Jimmy Butler, you know. The Heat last night, they failed to get threes going. They really weren't as solid. When I had seen the score fourth quarter, you know, it was like 100-76, and the Nuggets were just way past the Heat. The Heat were barely outscoring the Nuggets, and it seemed more of an offensive game. It seemed more of an offensive game, and no, I think it's just going to be extremely telling how the Heat will respond. Now, I don't recall. I mean, there has been an 8-seed team to win the NBA Finals in years, and to see the Heat flunk, they need to play better. They need to play better. I mean, I really said this before this episode that I really want to see Jimmy Butler at least win one title before his career is over. I nonetheless have good faith in what Jimmy Butler can do for Miami, what Nikola Jokic can do for his entire career alone. Oh man, I'm pretty hungry. Gotta get some of my stomach. I'm just open the chat room now. Let's get some comments going, guys. Talk about some of the NBA Finals. Also, talk about the Stanley Cup any time between now and the rest of the show. Just open the chat room, so if you're listening right now on Twitter or wherever, go ahead right now to Ball Talk Radio and type in your message or comment. Of course, I'd say entertaining so far. The NBA Finals. I don't know how it will rate in terms of other NBA Finals, but you know, I'd say last year the Finals were successful for the first time in some time, I heard, and then now you think maybe the Denver Nuggets, Miami Heat will draw pretty well, maybe possibly towards the end or games in Miami. I think the Miami Heat crowd just definitely stuck out more than the Denver crowd. No offense, Denver. Peyton Manning was shown with Shaquille O'Neal. Peyton Manning, of course, being a Denver Broncos Super Bowl champ in the past. You know, let's decide to talk a little football. I haven't really been wanting to talk some football in a while. By real quickly saying that, no, Breeze couldn't be knocked down, you know, the Heat formula for most of their success. Shots were made, you know, though, when I tuned into the press conference of the Miami Heat towards the very end of the NBA Finals Game 1. The NBA Finals Game 1 had just concluded, and I had just made up my mind that based off hearing Gabe Vincent and Jimmy Butler that things, nonetheless, were going to be pretty confident heading back into Game 2 for Gabe Vincent, Jimmy Butler, and the Miami Heat heading into Game 2. Michael Malone picked up his first victory in the NBA Finals, one of very few first-time head coaches to win the opening game in NBA Finals history. Michael Malone, okay, he is such a great underestimated coach. He went to, and I guess, you know, when I first saw the news of Michael Malone going to the Sacramento Kings, I right away thought he is headed towards a dead end. He is headed towards a dead end. He went to a organization that now I think are going to wreak the havoc of not switching up the right personnel. I mean, the Kings, they came off one of their better years in recent memory with Fox, Water, and others, but they did not complete the mission. They had arguably the best regular season, one of the best regular seasons out of all NBA teams in recent memory, then go on to be eliminated in round two. And some can understand that this has only been the Kings' first time back in the postseason since the early 2000s, but then again, But then just losing to the Warriors. The Warriors have much more postseason experience, of course, but they lack tremendously, like Kerr and Myers went on to say in their exit press conferences. And the Kings at this point, I just feel, aren't going to. Now, even without Michael Malone, I think definitely Michael Malone, much better coach than Mike Brown, and that the Kings will never see the day of light in the NBA Finals. I think they may very well reach the West Conference Final again at some point, but I think over time that same team Fox and them they gotta maybe switch up a little bit of personnel. Take the clutch player of the year, of course, and match him up with other talent potential. I mean, original fan of Porter from his time in Atlanta, but then again, I believe there's a reason why Atlanta got rid of Porter, and Porter. Porter just decided to falter in the NBA playoffs. You know, he did not. He did not quite live up to high standards. Better than Harrison Barnes. Yeah, it's a bonus. I mean, it's possible Keegan Murray, Sabonis can add on another year in Sacramento, but I think some has to give with some of the guards and forwards, or most particularly wings and the King system. I think they need to sharpen loose ends and possibly, I'm not too sure about Jaylen Brown to the Kings, but they'd be saying something if some reason for to join up in Sacramento next year with Fox or Sabonis. So Michael Malone, I think he's a very talented head coach, and I think it may very well be only possibly the beginning of good things to come in Denver. So go off against a coach like Spoelstra, huge win and huge loss on the part of now Spoelstra. Spoelstra needs to I think get things together. I think Pat Riley has high standards for some of his type of personnel. When you include Spoelstra, with Riley being over a 10-time champion as a player, coach, and now executive. I mean, I think Riley wants to do good reflection on not only the part of himself, but Spoelstra as well this postseason. If Spoelstra can't motivate the Heat to get into a rhythm, like I said before, it only takes maybe a few of their undrafted players and maybe Adebayo or Jimmy Butler on certain nights to electrify the Heat arena, for their time in Denver. So I think it'll be key for Spoelstra to win some games this series. You know, if this goes in four, then I think Spoelstra, he could say goodbye to Miami as a coach potentially. I think like I said, there are some high expectations set in place there in Miami right now. So with 5 minutes, I'm just quickly talk about the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins has been in the news, and speaking of which, I got to charge my laptop. But DeAndre Hopkins, he's been in the news, and I was just gearing up to talk about something NFL-related. I mentioned Peyton Manning, and then I was just going to mention someone else. You got Tom Brady recently saying that he will not retire. John Gruden possibly becoming a head coach again, this time helping out the Saints behind the scenes. And definitely some NFL storylines, if I look it up, too. Just trying to figure out what I'm missing here. You tell me, what's your favorite sports website for news? I mean, you gotta say Sports Kingdom, but I'll let you guys see that one. Sports Kingdom becomes readily available on the web, sportskingdomtv.com. Gonna revamp it, but I like to use Athletic at times. I don't know what. Well, I don't know. I guess we could. I mean, I don't really think I want to touch on DeAndre Hopkins just yet, but you know, I haven't speculated on this show as to at least where DeAndre Hopkins may land. I did hear that Houston is a possible destination. DeAndre Hopkins may very well return to the Houston Texans and play along with C.J. Stroud. I mean, I think that can't be any more of a better place for DeAndre Hopkins to land. I mean, just finish your career as a Houston Texan, try to help out the younger talent, try to even come to help spread out the field and expose good young talent beside you. I mean, he I think could join the Houston Texans, or he could very well, this is my original prediction, could very well join up and play with Deshaun Watson again, his former Clemson teammate. I think for Clemson, Clemson compadre, so can't think of any other word, but no, I think the Browns actually just need whatever they can get right now. I think if Piaggio wants to not play for a team like Houston, willing to help out younger talent and take almost a backseat role, then I think Cleveland definitely a suitor as a possibly a wide receiver one, get more action, try to seek out more opportunities and opportunity that a more beneficial contract. So, like I said, not going to spend much time talking about the NFL today other than just mention DeAndre Hopkins possibly going to the Browns or Houston Texans. You can tell me during the live show or after if you're listening on Stitcher, tune in. We recently checked out iTunes page in quite some time. Apparently, it's gonna work on that and other things this weekend. I'll be back Monday at a certain time. Promising you guys when we go live on Thursdays beginning next week, even though it's you guys listening and speaking, along with whomever is just united again in making Sports Kingdom great. So, like I said before, if you're listening and you've always wanted to just write or start out in general as somewhere in sports media, feel free to contact the show and find our email at skbtradio@gmail.com. So that's all it is. I wish I could figure out what I was going to talk about in the NFL. I'm just looking real quick. The Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots, Commanders, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Steelers. Nope. Well, you know, I did not, I was really apologetic that I did not do a NFL schedule release show. Normally I don't do that every year, but I mean, this year I was kind of motivated to do the NFL schedule release. Although we'll have plenty of time between now and the regular season to preview along what may happen with certain teams. I guess I'll just leave it there. I think it's possible I was gonna touch on the Buccaneers. I kind of think I was. Yeah, I was just gonna mention that you know, Tom Brady is not retired, but has retired now. Has made it official. He's not going to unretire as of yesterday yet again. Which is kind of why I was thinking. The connection between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Tampa Bay, and so it my thoughts on Tampa Bay, I want to quickly add that it should be interesting based off who I saw are the quarterbacks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next season. It's Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask, and then yet another very young quarterback, third string. I think it's anyone's game at the starting position in Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, he did have some solid outings last year, most particularly with Los Angeles, even when initially he went on to pull off a Monday Night Football game, Rams debut. Game win. I think Baker Mayfield is still gonna stick around the league for a while longer, but I don't necessarily think that. If the Buccaneers come close to the playoffs, then. Man, it'll be something. If I were to say it was a really good team this year, like previous, I'd say, oh well, they could definitely at least win 9 or 10 games and manage to still at least, I wouldn't say nine games at this point. I think that's a foregone conclusion with the expansion of the regular season total games these days, but. It's still very well possible for any team. Never say never. I'd say mostly 10 games. If Tampa Bay wins 10 games, they can go on to the playoffs. And I don't know if it's this year or say Baker comes back for a year or more, they could at least win a playoff game. But right now, I'm definitely for sure that Tampa Bay is not going to generate much success as they did with Tom Brady. So another team that's on the brink of not the NFL regular season in Florida, but in hockey, Stanley Cup fashion for the Florida Panthers. They are headed back to the Stanley Cup. This is definitely something I've been wanting to talk about for probably this whole show. I did enjoy the finals yesterday, but like I said, I think things are gonna pick up as time goes along in the finals. Although things will pick up in the Stanley Cup final when. None other than the Florida Panthers return for the first time since 1996. Marvelous accomplishment considering that the state of Florida has seen Tampa Bay reach multiple Stanley Cups and now Florida regain ground. They have gone on to play tremendous hockey this postseason with first-year Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, who I've listened to and just think, man, this guy's just awesome to listen to. He really comes with a sharp and poised mind for all of the locker room and Florida Panthers uniform. Paul Maurice. Yeah, another another being that has faced a long drought since returning to the Stanley Cup final from his last being with the 2002 Carolina Hurricanes, Paul Maurice. That said, interestingly, if and how the way the Stanley Cup shapes out, the Florida Panthers' future essentially will be determined of 5 years from now. So that's a very interesting comment from Paul Maurice, who has just begun his stint in Florida. He is a winner, arguably more of a winner than Bruce Cassidy is in Vegas. Vegas they're dealing with not only the Florida Panthers but with adversity coming from now. Three different head coaches, one DeBoer, two Gallant, and now Bruce Cassidy. High expectations have been set on the Vegas Golden Knights. Seemingly organization, they must, I think, win the Stanley Cup this year if they're going to feel firmly dignified of themselves. I do think, however, the Panthers are just hopefully and are more awesome to see win over the Vegas Golden Knights this year. The Golden Knights, they may have a good amount of depth. Got some return Stanley Cup champions and two from St. Louis, and then actually two others being from Washington and 2018's and Vegas's own original misfit, as apparently some of the media would call him, Sam. So, the Golden Knights, you know, when the Golden Knights originally released, I kind of thought, oh, this is not as what I'd expect to turn out for an organization to begin with them being Las Vegas or Vegas Golden Knights or their uniforms, you know, and some of their talent, but I've kind of grown on some of the organization over time. Mark Stone, he has missed some time, but I really feel he's been truly the shining armor of the Vegas Golden Knights, as well as on the Florida side. On the Florida side, right away I was going to say Sam Reinhart, but I would say, Kachuk has to definitely be up there. But really Barkov, the former Defensive Player of the Year winner, he's really shown to be the true MVP of the Panthers postseason, right next to Kachuk. You know, I thought when Kachuk left Calgary, he made just spoke to a magazine and said, Florida's just my cup of tea, basically. He made the right move. And just as Paul Maurice said, he is just a truly smart player. He could have picked a more better destination when you really think about it. Calgary, they had reached the playoffs recently with Kachuk and Gaudreau, but things had eventually come to an end there in Calgary. They got Mackenzie Weegar and Huberdeau, and look what turned out to be a mistake for Huberdeau. Kachuk is now rock solid there in Florida. Serge Bobrovsky. Oh, just like Sam Bennett of formerly Calgary is in about his third or fourth season in Florida. And it looks like my laptop's about to die. All right, very soon I'm going to – actually, why don't we now, okay? I'll hang on my thought about the Florida Panthers and come back with more on the Stanley Cup. But for now, stay tuned.
keep on hiding, but I can't reach the surface. Everybody's living different, I just can't compare. Too much left to bottle, took another shot of pushing up, but I can't find a way to know. I'm stuck, it happens every month. I don't really ask for much. I just need to, I just need to, I just need to touch. Climb in this hole, I don't wanna watch it go. No, I don't wanna watch it, I don't wanna watch it. They just tell me why I feel so stuck in my mind, but it's nothing. I can't change, no, I won't do it for the one driving. See you passing by, I just think that I deserve some change.
Welcome back. I'm sorry for the delay. Apparently, like I mentioned before the break, the laptop was without some batteries. It turned out, turned off, turned back on. Had some technical difficulties to address. So now we're back. Here, I recorded my studio. There's an hour remaining in the show, so maybe right now I'm gonna turn on the TV. Actually, it's 8 o'clock, which means you might know. Even if you're a wrestling fan, SmackDown is on right now. Maybe just shake things up a little with the time remaining. Put SmackDown on and talk the rest of the Stanley Cup Final, which is tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TNT. Should be a good one. But, you know, I did not expect to go further than I have today. With several things going on, and then 9:00, just trying to now work around my schedule and make sure we go consistently live starting next Thursday, 12 to 3 Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. But hang on. All right, just seeing some unimportant stuff on WWE. Roman Reigns is expected to have a 1,000-day coronation as champ. I'll talk a little bit about that once it goes live, but I can't put the volume on, so, you know. I'm just going to back when I started here, Blog Talk, 16 years old. I had the freedom to play any type of audio now. A lot of audio is copyrighted, even though, especially for SK1, our upcoming documentaries, YouTubers can now include a variety of YouTube videos uncopyrighted. Oh, what's this? Apparently, big storm coming my way. Not too long ago, I had a tornado put the cats in the basement. Pretty bad. But, all right, I mean, as I was saying before about the Stanley Cup, the Golden Knights have Bruce Cassidy coming over from Boston Bruins. He may not be as experienced of a coach like Paul Maurice, especially around this time of year, but Bruce Cassidy has the time to back up some of his resume with the very successful Bruins. You know, the Bruins. Happened to go the wrong way this very year, although Bruce Cassidy, you know, definitely up to the challenge now that that comes before him, before the Vegas Golden Knights have lost in the Stanley Cup, and then Western Conference Final, and now they made it as far again as to go to the Stanley Cup Final. And currently face the Florida Panthers. It's gonna be Boston, new tag team. Apparently they're. Now, I guess if you use the same motion capture on certain performers use the same moves, and I guess just okay. Similarities. So, yeah, not to throw here. I'm gonna continue. But yeah, so the Vegas Golden Knights are now looking to win a Stanley Cup final, first in franchise history. They have a star team, I believe, this time compared to the first time. It's stars like Jack Eichel, Pietrangelo, Stevenson, and you also add in Carlson, who's went on to have goals for the Golden Knights in his last 7 games. You factor in the 10 goals he scored recently this postseason compared to his previous high in the regular season. He's really done great on one of his first lines for Vegas. I think the most telling character of them all, though, this postseason is Jack Eichel. Of course, he came back from an injury that has many of his doubters wondering now if he can go on to finish his history this postseason and cap off a Stanley Cup 3 with the Vegas Golden Knights. And if you don't forget, he was the second overall pick back in the 2015 NHL draft. I think that draft was held in Philadelphia. I still remember because I kind of remember not being able to make it. But Jack Eichel was drafted to the Buffalo Sabres along with Austin Matthews, first overall, to Toronto. I was just talking about Austin Matthews recently on the show, possibly leaving Toronto or staying. He sure he sure gets talked a lot about Austin Matthews, but I think Jack Eichel's worth talking about as well. Not because they come from the 2015 NHL draft, but, Eichel what he's most known for is his speed. Whereas, Austin Matthews has talked a lot about more because he's just more of a polished player all around than Eichel is. But I always thought, For a winning franchise to end up with a player like Eichel, they were gonna get the same result, a winner. And I think so far Eichel has shown, you know, he can almost do whatever Coach Cassidy asked out of him, and sure seemed to enjoy his time out in Las Vegas for time being in Vegas. He just really has you know, made Vegas come this far. I think I think without Jack Eichel, it's possible puzzle to the pieces just when mesh, you know, just I think Eichel's a very good character, especially in the locker room. I've always thought highly of Eichel. And even though Buffalo hasn't gained much success over the years in the regular season, you know, I think in the draft they've really fielded together some solid pieces, and one of them just not only has seemed to be players like Paige Thompson, Krebs, but Jack Eichel, and I was trying to look up, sort of the longevity comparisons between Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, and some all-time veterans. What I thought to be as possibly true, I think if Jack Eichel keeps putting together some solid winning seasons for Vegas, odds are he's gonna stick around the league. For a really good majority of time. But I think he'll surpass Austin Matthews. I kind of feel like Austin Matthews can, but then again, I was sort of questioning before his time in Toronto, going without saying this, I don't seem to know if Matthews is going to replicate another good MVP season like he did ever again at this point, especially in Toronto. I really think, you know, his career could take somewhat maybe of a downfall or good jump, but I don't know, the players that have stuck out to me have been Marner, and I still think, based off what everyone says about Tavares, not being a top line guy and Toronto, he still very well produces reasonable stats to keep him in Toronto. So I think Torreira has some worthy pieces, but then again, we're talking Jack Eichel and the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they sure got their work cut out for them, as they have a very young goaltender in net, 7'3", has hardly played as many seasons, games, or Stanley, or I guess moments like this. Serge Bobrovsky has gone up against. Serge Bobrovsky, highly praised by Paul Maurice, was talking at Stanley Cup Media Day and today, and he at one point almost thought he said the F word, but then was laughed off or shrugged off. I mean, could have been worse than Ilya Bryzgalov's, and Ilya Bryzgalov's play on the ice. You know, Ilya was put in net for as part of Flyers in exchange for Serge Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky had spent some time in Philadelphia. Became known as Bob at the time, and went a long way, and now reaching the Stanley Cup final. Whereas Ilya Bryzgalov is nowhere to be seen in the league these days, and could at least take Philly anywhere close to as far as Serge Bobrovsky could very well be now, which is winning a Stanley Cup final. The Flyers, they recently hired TNT analyst, former NBC analyst, Keith Jones, who has provided lots of commentary on the Flyers in the past. Ed Snyder's no longer there. You know, he was the owner since the very 70s, and he was very hands-on with the Flyers. Now, as much as he did, could he have done a better job like Keith Jones shall do? Yeah, but the Flyers, they hired Keith Jones, and now everyone's questioning if the Flyers are going to trade away Carter Hart. I mean, who knows? Who knows at this point? I mean, if the Flyers do decide to trade Carter Hart, they may get back some good pieces, but then again, would you trade one of your best goaltenders in quite some time, who's still pretty young, has maybe some good value in the future for any team, like maybe the Florida Panthers that you used yet another former Flyers goaltender and take advantage without Spencer Knight, who I thought was going to, you know, be their most premier goaltender in Florida, but with the Flyers, they could trade Carter Hart, according to some within hockey, and then you factor in Kevin Hayes, he's likely to go, I think. James Van Riemsdyk, he should have been traded from a first-round pick at the deadline. He may not have as much value, I believe, now as he could have before. I mean, Flyers made a big mistake in keeping around some key players. They thought maybe they'd recreate magic with Giroux and Pronger, but you know, everyone thought maybe Tony and D'Angelo would work out, then Ivan Proforov. But that's about it. I think Ivan Proforov has been probably maybe one of the very least their best recent defensemen. Especially chosen in the draft. The draft will be very interesting this year. Of course, I haven't provided much commentary yet on Connor Bedard and the whole shape-up of the NHL draft. We'll have coverage probably on YouTube. But you know, maybe you guys want to hear me just say one thing about Bedard. I, you know, caught him at the World Juniors, and you know, he was possibly. I mean, there were certainly some other interesting prospects, but you know, Bedard. You know, he really scored a lot of goals. He shared that he could be physical on the offensive boards for his size. And I mean, the type of player I value more in this day and age in hockey is Connor McDavid. I think he's just the true epitome of what a hockey player should be, even though he's yet to won a Stanley Cup. I think by now he should have won a Stanley Cup even this year. I was mostly watching in the NHL postseason Connor McDavid, but even with that line, that probably one of the best assembled lines they had in years, Edmonton, and they just failed to get the job done. Even with a younger goalie, I had high faith in Campbell. It should come back next year, though, better. Maybe more experience under Campbell's belt. And maybe, I don't know, just Edmonton, they were one of the best teams. I think they had their one of their best seasons, probably their best season with McDavid this past year. Maybe they'll try to be not so much successful, but mainly in the regular season, but go on to target the Stanley Cup final. So, the Flyers. Oh, well, no, not the Flyers. I'm sorry. you know, I got a little caught up with what I was thinking. Connor Bedard, I think he does get compared to Jack Hughes somewhat, but then again, people think he could be arguably better than Jack Hughes. Going to a place like Chicago, you know, I think it's gonna take for him to adjust some time in Chicago, especially with how things are seated in Chicago right now. They need to establish a solid winning culture first and foremost once again. I'm not saying they're going to go straight back to the Stanley Cup final and have those years they did with Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, who I'll mention in just one second, but you know, with the Blackhawks, they need to think they'll get a player, someone like Bedard, who can rack up wins, be able to overcome the era of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, and put on win culture. You know, it's all you can really ask for. Is at the very moment Connor Bedard comes in over from Canada and shows off his young Canadian roots, is bring some passionate motivation over to some of Chicago over there. So, just say Patrick Kane, yet another Chicago Blackhawk, formerly now. He was recently said, and you know, I said before we were going to touch on a few news topics towards the end. So now I'm touching on Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane is out 4 to 6 months, not 4 to 6 weeks, but 4 to 6 months, dealing with a resurfaced knee surgery. He said he wants to play for extended period of more time in the NHL. I'm not sure how that's going to happen. I think he needs to He's just really worried about his upcoming future. I don't know if, you know, after what we saw with the Rangers, that you know, Kane can really come back, because I think many teams that are going to want to sign on Patrick Kane are going to want to get the best Patrick Kane in the case of Patrick Kane, he's got to really He's got to really decide right now. He's got to just worry about healing up. So ...20 minutes left. Like I said, Friday Night SmackDown's on tonight. Maybe I'll end with 10 more minutes here. I was starting to talk about Sam Reinhart. Sam Reinhart, I think, is just the huge piece there in Florida right now. He's, I think, could very well have a long career in Florida, but right now he stands with not much to give, but improve in the Stanley Cup final. I started to say before, they lost. The Florida Panthers lost Giroux, Huberto, several other players, and now they have really reshaped their identification. They got a lot to be optimistic about and heading into Stanley Cup final. I don't know if I mentioned this. Big difference here between Florida, Vegas is Vegas' side, and they almost have someone 6-6. And they just have tremendous size, more size, Vegas over Florida. It's going to be really interesting what takes place, especially at T-Mobile Arena. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I apparently have to really, really just use the bathroom. I'm going to end on this note here. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Get your predictions in to me, whether it's on social media or not. We'll be back Monday here on Love Talk Radio. Thank you, guys.